Lecture topic, Muslims of Today, Part B.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihudahu wa ba'd. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka anta al-alimul hakim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. ويقول الله عز وجل: وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار. أما بعد. Honorable ulama, elders, brothers, dear sisters in Islam. خير الكلام ما قل ودل. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, the best of speech is that which is short and straight to the point. I don't want to give you too much, so that firstly it will be taxing on myself, and secondly taxing on your minds. We'd rather go home with a simple message, a message that we can think about, a message that we can share. Wallahi, if I were to ask you, what is the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, the hadith Qudsi, how many of us would actually be able to stand up and say, look, this is what you said? If we can, that means, alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us sincerity in speaking and sincerity in listening. Let me repeat that hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, myself, mankind and jinnkind, we have a strange relationship. Difficult one to understand. I create, they worship everything but me. I give them, they thank everyone but me. My goodness comes down to them on a daily basis, and their evil comes back up to me on a daily basis. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Wallahi, today, that is the hadith we need to take home. Do we want to be from amongst those who are cursed in this hadith indirectly? No, Allah, we don't want. Let us do something about it. And I had a call that I have not made to this day. It has been made here in Durban, a historic call, whereby I addressed those engaged in alcohol directly. Subhanallah. Oh, you who is drinking, turn to Allah. Don't come tomorrow and say I was not told to turn to Allah. No one reminded me. Allah loves you. Leave that bad way. And I gave you a few guidelines what you could do. Firstly, give up your mobile phone. And giving up the mobile phone and, you know, not sharing your number with anyone but those who fear Allah, that is a criteria if you want to leave any form of sin that you are addicted to. Whether it is alcohol, whether it is drugs, whether it is zina, you need to give up that phone number, change it, subhanallah. And I'm telling you this because I know I help people, subhanallah. They will not be able to leave it until no one knows their number. Let them not get hold of you. Khalas. Let them think what they have to. There's no problem. Let them hate you. It's Allah who loves you in return. You want the love of Allah, take out the love of haram from your heart and you will find it becoming filled with the love of Allah. Allah will love you. The problem is our hearts are full of love also, but love of the wrong things. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the understanding. Let us ponder over what has been said. And inshallah, let's engage in ibadah in these days, these blessed days of Ramadan. Let us calculate our resolutions, write them down if the need arises. Look at them on a daily basis. Ya Allah, this is what I promised you in this holy month of Ramadan. And I'm going to look up to it. And I'm going to make sure that I fulfill it. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of our elders here is asking me, he asked me last night, he says, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran uses the term we created, we revealed, we did this, we did that? And why doesn't he use the term I? He is one. To be honest with you, the Christians have seized the opportunity of this and they have come up and they have said, you know what? This means that God is not one, a'udhu billah, but he is part and parcel of a plural. You know, they believe in Trinity. Firstly, not all Christians believe in Trinity. Only part of them believe in Trinity. Secondly, what about the Torah and the Talmud? The books that the Jews have, they don't believe in Trinity. They also have we in it everywhere. In the English language, it is known as the royal we. The royal we. Which means those people who are, you know, they have a rank and status in society, in community, in the country, the chief of an area, etc. Even an old elderly person, someone who is respected, they are spoken to in the plural. The problem is, we don't realize it because we speak the English language. In English, when you say you, it's for singular, it's for plural, it's for everyone. So this is something that we don't understand. But when it comes to the other languages, take a look at some of the local African languages, take a look at some of the Indo-Pak languages. When you speak to people, you can use the plural in order to show respect. Subhanallah. Similarly, when the president of a country says, I did something, normally he will say, this is what we did and this is what we didn't do. Subhanallah. So it has nothing to do with Trinity, it has nothing to do with plural, it is just a royal we, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the royal plural to refer to himself. Obviously, he is deserving of using that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. There was a question that I was asked a few days ago that I could share with you here today. I was asked, what is the best way to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And obviously what I wish to mention here today is, gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is a very big gift. Firstly, try your best to obey all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as many as possible. Meaning, when it comes to farad, you've got no choice, you have to. Farad and wajib, you have to fulfill. But when it comes to the sunnah and nawafil, try your best to fulfill as much as you can. When it comes to the prohibitions, stay away from them. Major sins, we must be far away from them. Wallahi, lower your gaze. Today, the biggest sin in society is zina. That is the biggest sin. And people are engaged in it wholesale. Wallahi. This is why you find the Muslim ummah is backward. You know, I am surprised and amazed that people who come to me and say, you know what? What are you ulama doing about the situation in Iraq? Subhanallah. What are you doing about the situation in Palestine? You as ulama, you're doing nothing. I'm hurt about the fact that you people are not even speaking about it. Wallahi, Allah tells us subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will change the condition of the ummah if every single one of you changes your condition. The problem is we are involved. We cannot even claim a relationship with Allah. We cannot even claim that we know Him. And we want to solve the problems of the whole ummah. Solve your problems. Solve your own and solve your family problems. Today, wallahi, we don't speak to our family members, subhanallah. We don't want to. If they try to talk to us, no. You know what is the in thing today? We blame each other for having done black magic on one another. A'udhu billah. How bad can it become? Look at shaitan. He knows that this is the month of Ramadan. So he says, you know what? Jadu karila keluche. This is what shaitan says, subhanallah. And who did it? My own auntie, my own uncle. Normally they accuse the females more than the males. A'udhu billah. And they normally accuse the elderly females. She's a witch. A'udhu billah. Wallahi, that statement is so severe that I can comfortably say, if it was a blue drop in the ocean or a green drop, a red drop in the ocean, it would change the color of the whole ocean. That's how severe that statement is. Wallah. We should never accuse people of this. It's from shaitan. Let me tell you, 99% of our problems are not even connected to jadu and shaitan and all those things. Our own failure, because we can't stand up to it, we have to blame something else. Khalas. And the in thing, when something happens, oh, this is, someone did something. Someone did something. Wallahi, that is shaitan who makes you say this. That is the statement of the hour. Everyone has it. It's a sign of the weakness of iman. The weakest iman is for that person who blames superstition for all his problems. Wallahi, take it home with you again today. And spread what I have told you. For definitely I tell you, if you are blaming superstition, yes, I told you 9 out of 10. 99%, maybe 1% of it might be that. But if we are blaming that for our failure in this, our that, subhanallah, suddenly 2-3 things went wrong with our children, or 2-3 things went wrong with us. My car was bumped, my finger was hurt, and my eye is twitching. Oh, there's something bad. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah has shown us in the Quran about the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. They had evil after evil after evil after evil, 10, 20 different evils. Then the doors opened. They never blamed jadu. They never blamed black magic. They never did not speak to their relatives and blame this auntie and uncle and granny and grandma and granddaughter and grandchild, etc. and daughter-in-law especially, Allahu Akbar. Today that's what we are doing. We don't like the daughter-in-law because she has taken a place in the heart of our son. So suddenly what we do? We start blaming her. She's a witch. Ever since she's come, this is what happened and that's what happened. Allahu Akbar. Don't eat the food that she sends. Wallahi, that is a sign of the weakest iman. A person who says don't eat the food that comes from here and there. Wallahi, let me tell you something. Who do you think you are? Allahu Akbar. What if no one ate your food and they accused you of the same thing? What if your own family members didn't eat your food? How would you feel? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And what hurts me is there are ulama who will come out and encourage people to say, yes, this is what is done. Let me inform you. A lot of these amilin that are around, those whom you go to, you know, Maulana, they did jadu. Let me tell you. I'm going to inform you because I know I also deal with the problem. We can share a few lighter moments here. People have come to me. And alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us a little bit. You can tell it from the eyes, from the pulse, etc. Sometimes that this person here, subhanallah, they need a bit of help. But 9 times out of 10, you know that, listen, there's nothing wrong. This person is depressed because of economic problem, because of family problem. They are sad, they are saddened, they have this issue, they have that issue. So therefore, we need to help them. A lot of the times, I'll be honest with you. You know the women? Yes, it is an act of worship. If you are going to keep yourself in shape for your husbands, subhanallah, did you hear that? It is an act of worship if you are going to keep yourselves in shape for your husbands, subhanallah. Today we are keeping ourselves in shape, but for the wrong reasons. And we are wearing clothing that even shaitan is shy of, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So, what the women do, they go on something known as a diet. I said die because you half die. The diet, subhanallah. That diet, what? They abstain from food and drink until the jinnat comes into them, subhanallah. They come, Maulana, I'm seeing stars. Maulana, I can't sleep at night. Maulana, there's a voice in my ears. Maulana, there's a ringing in my ears. You know what I did? I learned slowly but surely. That when you tell them, listen, there's nothing wrong with you, they'll keep on going to different Maulanas, 10, 20 of them, until they are told that one of your relatives did jadu. Now, do you know why these culprits say one of your relatives has did jadu? Because as I said in the past, I may have said it in this hall, every extended family has to have a small problem. That's from Allah. You've got a family with 10, 20, 30 members, extended family. There has to be a problem. If you don't have a problem, come and see me after this, subhanallah. I will show you where is that problem. In fact, I haven't come across anyone who doesn't have a problem in their extended family. Major or minor. Yes, the degree of the problem differs. But you have to have a difficulty with one of your relatives. You have to. That is a gift from Allah to grant you the opportunity to engage in an ibadah known as solving problems. Had it not been for that problem, you wouldn't have been accepted to engage in that ibadah. So Allah wants to test you, my banda. I will have to put family problems here so that I want to see, do you solve them or are you from the chickens who just say jadu, etc., etc. So what happens? These culprits, they come to you and they say, someone did jadu. Allahu Akbar. So now what happens? You start scratching your head. Yes, my daughter-in-law. Allahu Akbar. I don't get on with her. Yes, my son-in-law. My mother-in-law. Yes, that's it. Oh, that uncle of mine. You know, that relative, every time they come, they make panchat when they come to my house. They make what? Panchat. You know what is panchat? When you start asking, oh, this and oh, that. And what happened here and what happened there? Oh, this frame that you have here. What happened? How much did it cost you? Etc. It must have been very expensive. Did it ever drop? Didn't it drop? What happened to your child? Subhanallah. Do they ever get sick? Don't they get sick? Do they sleep at night? Don't they sleep at night? This is unnecessary. Fudul, wallahi. So, it comes to your mind. Yeah, that person does this to me so many times. It must have been them. It must be them. And you tell them, you know what? Who is it? Give me the name. They'll say, no, we can't give you the name. Because they know it's nothing. It's from their minds, from their hearts. Wallahi. They will never give you the name. I promise you, they will not give you the name. Subhanallah. And you know what they will do? They will come around your house. And they are intelligent. I can do it for you if you want. And say, you know what? Dig here, you'll find hay. Allahu Akbar. Dig there, you'll find hay. Oh, marigya. Marigya. There, this is it. Subhanallah. This amil. Now you want to do everything for him. MashaAllah. He knows what happened. You see, I was telling you that someone did something on us. And you go back to everyone. Yeah, that auntie of ours. Khalas, excommunicate. Shaitan goes to the middle of the oceans to Iblis to get his gift. To get his prize. First award, Nobel Prize in war. That is what shaitan gets. Because he succeeded. Shaitan's entire mission is to destroy relations. He is succeeding. Subhanallah. So this is what we are doing today. We are coming out and blaming anything and everything. And these culprits are coming out and telling us, no, this is what's happening. Let me get back to what I was saying. So if you tell them, listen, there is nothing wrong with you, they will keep on going until they find someone who says there is something wrong so that they can hang on to it. Cling on to it. Why? Because you are not clinging to Allah. You've got to cling on to everything besides Allah. This is what Allah is saying. I have given you, you are thanking everyone but me. I created you, you are worshipping everyone but me. Here it is. You are worshipping your own superstition. This is what it is. Subhanallah. So what I decided now, when these young girls come and they tell me, you know what, I see stars. I say, you know what, you have a jinnat. You have a what? You have a jinnat. And that jinnat, and remember what I'm about to say, take heed. Jinnats do not like yogurt, cheese, chocolates, and a little bit of red meat. They don't like it. So maybe you don't have that in your system. That is why the jinnats are coming to you. The minute you have yogurt, milk, you know, a little bit of red meat, and you balance your diet, shaitan will run away because it's like anti-magnetic. They don't have that. And wallahi, I get a phone call in the evening. We are better. Subhanallah. The ringing sound in my ear is gone. That is because you are dieting, subhanallah. Obviously, you're going to see stars. In the daylight, you will see stars. Allahu Akbar. And obviously, you are going to hear something. That jinnat is known as the diet. And this is why I say, my dear sisters, I'm addressing you more. Because I know how it feels when you get out of shape. May Allah grant us all the ability to be healthy. Why I'm saying this to the sisters is because it affects them more. They are more conscious of themselves. Listen to this. We are taught, eat, have a balanced diet, but burn it out. Get a treadmill in your house. Invest in it. You know, a little bicycle, one of those things in the home, those exercise bicycles. You don't have to go to the gym where your marriage is going to be broken because the next man next to there is more built than your own husband. A'udhu billah. That's not what we want. That's not where we want to go. We shouldn't be going to places like those. Wallahi, I can comfortably say haram. Not permissible. But have your own at home. Get together. And as I said, think of methods. 5-6 women who are, mashallah, in hijab, etc., concerned about separation, get together and each one of you bring in one item, invest in one item, put it together, create a gym in one of your garages where it will be totally separate. Subhanallah. Use it, all of you. Subhanallah. But why don't we think of this? So you eat and burn it. This is what is better than not eating. Not eating is being ungrateful to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا. Eat and drink. Allah is commanding you from the beautiful things I have provided you. You are saying, no, I don't want to eat. I want to go on a diet. Allahu Akbar. Yes, the way you eat can be wrong. As I mentioned in one of my social conduct programs, you know, you put in 10, 12 samosas. In fact, I got phone calls that were laughing at me. People say, how did you talk about samosas here? And I said, you know what? It's just like that. The youth, sometimes, you know, the samosa tastes so nice. You literally put in 10, 12. You pack them up. You know, how they fit in the belly, we don't even know. Subhanallah. So what we are saying is, when you want to eat red meat, a few grams here and there, control your eating. Prawns, don't just say, oh, that's my favorite. Well, it is mine also. Subhanallah. So if you are going to eat prawns, it doesn't mean now you must pack away, you know, a whole school of these prawns. Subhanallah. 5-6, count yourself a few and put it there. Even if you want to have, now bear patience, because, subhanallah, then you might affect your health adversely. But eat and burn it. This is what we are taught. The problem with us, we eat and we sit. We go into the car, we got no time to walk. So now we are totally unhealthy. Then when we go on a diet, now our family relations are broken because we blame everyone for the jadu that has happened to us, not realizing it's just something to do with our diet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So this is something that I've mentioned. How to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Always bear in mind that Allah is watching you. That's it. Always bear in mind that Allah is watching you. Be concerned of the fact. Before you do a sin, think of it. Ya Allah, Allah is watching me. He's writing it down. From this day on, inshallah, we must purify ourselves. Wallahi, we need to change for the sake of Allah. You want to change the condition of the ummah? Change now. You want goodness? Wallahi, you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now for that goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to become close to Him. Remember, gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be through what is known as ihsan. Al-ihsanu an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you are watching Him. If you can't afford to get that, if you haven't got to that level, then at least you should understand that He is watching you. May Allah grant us closeness to Him. Naam. The question is a very important question. And you will notice my answer, I will tackle it from the reality. Before I say the question and the answer, I want you to understand one thing. What I'm about to say can be misunderstood, so please don't misunderstand it. If you have any misunderstandings, raise your hand and stop me here and now. The question is, and listen very carefully, wallahi, it is a deadly question. Is it compulsory in these days for a woman to cover her face? That's the question. The answer is, every woman who is listening to me now, you are on a certain level. Maintain that level if it is within the frame of the Sharia, with an intention of getting to the next one, and strive towards getting to the next one. Meaning, when I say maintain it, meaning don't go back on it. That's what I meant. If Allah has granted you the ability to put a scarf on your head, don't ever remove it and try to get to the next stage. If Allah has granted you the ability to wear a niqab, don't ever remove it and try to get to the next stage. If Allah has granted you the ability to cover even those eyes of yours and just put a few holes in the, flap, maintain it, get to the next level. If Allah has granted you the ability to wear a cloak, maintain it and get to the next level. If Allah has granted you the ability to wear a thick, loose cloak, maintain it and get to the next level. If Allah has granted you the ability to wear a cloak or a burqa from your head going down so that even the shape of your shoulders is not shown, maintain it and go to the next level. If Allah has granted you the ability to abstain from speaking to na mahram, maintain it and go to the next level. If Allah has granted you the ability to do hijab and to cover your face even from those who work for you of the opposite sex, maintain it and go to the next level. Subhanallah. So I'm sure you can see the levels that I'm speaking about. I have dodged the question and I intend to dodge it intentionally. The reason is, I don't want to give people who are trying, sad news so that they feel, we are useless. Everyone who is trying, try harder. There is no level that you can get to and say, now I've arrived. Subhanallah. Wallahi, I tell you something, even to do hijab from your own gardeners and maids, it's a requirement of the Sharia. Did we know it? That's a level. Have you got to it? If you haven't, there it is. Aim for it. Get there. Allahu Akbar. I know of a woman, subhanAllah, a new Muslimah. She accepted Islam a few years ago. She has a swimming pool in her house. Wallahi, she will pack away everybody before she goes and swim. SubhanAllah. Everyone is gone outside the gate and the yard. Out. Gone. Besides her and the females that are there. Wallahi, this is it. She won't speak to her maids, to her gardeners, those who work for her. That is a level. Though to speak to a male who is a stranger within the limits of the Sharia for necessity is permissible. You need to go to the doctor and speak to him. It is permissible within the limits. You don't become too friendly. Remember, the doctor's a good man. You are a good woman, but shaitan is not good. Wallahi. Same applies. You need to speak to Maulana. Maulana's a good man. You might be a good woman, but don't get too friendly. And this is why my policy is, and I'm mentioning it here today, my wife is actually seated here. The reality is, if someone contacts me, I'm speaking of a female, yes, I will respond and I will try to help as much as possible. The minute I feel they are becoming a little bit too friendly, I will tell them, email me or fax me, subhanallah. That's it, khalas. Because now, where will it head to? I'm a good man, inshallah. And she's probably better than me, inshallah. But shaitan is worse than both of us. And this is why I say, we always need to check ourselves. Wallah. So this is the answer for your question. Dodged, isn't it? You must be upset. But never mind, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to get to the level beyond the one where we are. No matter where you are, let's get to the next level. Don't look at those who are trying. You know what is sad? Sometimes those who cover their faces, and please don't be insulted. Sometimes some of them would tend to look down upon those who haven't covered their faces. Do you know that it is your duty to call them towards the obedience of Allah? Sometimes we look at a Muslim lady in a miniskirt. May Allah grant them all guidance. Our dua, the night of Laylatul Qadr, make dua, Ya Allah, all those women who are astray, Ya Allah, help them. Make them strong and make us also strong, Ya Allah. They might be astray in one thing, you might be astray in 10 things, subhanallah. They might have a weakness in terms of dress, you might have a weakness and you might be committing zina itself. One is zina of the eyes and the other is the real zina, which is worse. So let us always not look down upon others. And you need to say, Ya Allah, there might be a deed or two of hers which you love. Ya Allah, grant her acceptance. Make her from amongst those who will be able to be obedient to your commands and grant her Jannah also. We go around spreading rumors. Firstly, we don't even want to greet such people. And I'm not speaking to the males to go out and greet the women in miniskirts. La, don't misunderstand me. I'm speaking to the females. Sometimes you know it's a Muslim lady. Talk to her. Assalamu alaikum. How are you doing, my... Don't speak about that topic initially. Become friends with her first. Win her heart. Then wallahi, without even you saying anything, you'll notice her skirts going longer and longer and longer, inshallah. And amazing, sometimes we wear the longest of skirts, but from the top it becomes a little bit too low. Allahu Akbar. And we begin to show our chest and part of it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. Remember, I'm firing directly. We are all insan. We know what is going on around us. So we need to deal with this. Sometimes we wear a cloak and a scarf. And this is something very, very important. That scarf is tied in such a way that there is a gap between the scarf and the top of our cloak. Sometimes a lot of our chest is actually showing. And do you know, when a person is covered, when a woman is covered, she looks much more beautiful than when she is not, subhanallah. She's much more attractive, subhanallah. Do you know why? I can tell you why. When I used to do art at school, I'm actually an artist, to be honest with you, but what we were taught is, you know, you must leave some lines because beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. Let the eye make that line. Different eyes will make different lines. You know, you shade in a ball, for example. You shade in part of it and the other part, leave it blank. The eye will make that line for you. So what happens when the woman is covered head to toe? Your imagination makes her. Khalas, that's it. So she is more beautiful than she really is. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand, and the women the ability to understand, that really you are much more beautiful in your hijab. Subhanallah. It is Allah. I have read a lot of articles of the new Muslim women who will tell you, wallahi, I feel liberated now. I'm not worried about this and that and how many centimeters, and they are called these pouches that you get on the side. Wallahi, they are normal. They are a good sign. Subhanallah. MashaAllah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be as best as possible. Try harder. Wherever you've got to, don't stop. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told not to stop until the point of death. Subhanallah. So surely we need to walk up the ladder forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability. The sisters, some of them might be cursing me, so I need to also mention a few words for the brothers. Wallahi, wherever we have got, let us get to the next level. If Allah, and I always mention this, people ask me about the beard. And I always say, you know what? What you need to do? Start off, and I said this at the university a few weeks ago. If you don't have a beard, what you need to do, subhanallah, firstly, you need to understand that, listen, we are meant to be having a beard. That is one thing. Secondly, don't be depressed. What you do, if you are weak and you can't keep one altogether, then start off, when you are shaving, leave a few strands right at the bottom here. Something known as a goatee, subhanallah. Keep a few hairs, at least that is the beginning of a beard, isn't it? Subhanallah. You are worried about the trends, that is also in style, subhanallah. So you keep a little goatee. And every time you shave, one hair on this side and one hair on that side, you leave. By the time the year finishes, how many hairs will there be? 365. By the time the next year finishes, how many will there be? And subhanallah, you can actually work your way through to that beard that you won't even notice, subhanallah. But we need to think of these ideas, inshallah. And therefore, I myself, I don't look down upon those who don't have a beard, because they might have other deeds that I don't have. I know of some people where I come from, beardless people, but wallahi, they have served Islam even more than I have, subhanallah. Because they have protected Islam and protected the Muslims of the country that I come from the level of the government. They have added in laws to protect all of us. Had it not been Allah to use them, we might have today not been able to enjoy the freedoms we are enjoying. So Allah uses different worshippers to serve this deen. Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-deen bir-rajulil fajir. Famous hadith. Allah will use a sinner to serve this deen also sometimes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us. And I hope that message has also come across. Subhanallah. Sometimes even our wives will discourage us. Imagine I'm battering them today. They will tell us, you know what, you're looking ugly, man. You're looking ugly. Allahu Akbar. I'm not meant to be looking. Subhanallah. I'm not meant to be looking that way. If you knew the criteria of what was handsome and not, wallahi, you would let me keep the longest of beards. Subhanallah. The problem is today, we look at the movie stars, Allahu Akbar, may Allah protect us. And that is the man whom we look up to, or the woman whom we look up to. My wife must be like, subhanallah, I don't want to say the names. And my husband must be like, so and so, subhanallah. This is where we are failing. This is what is heading us in the wrong direction, wallah. We need to be those who want to be like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha radiallahu anha. You know, I mentioned a point on Friday, and subhanallah, one young man who's engaged, he came to me and said, that's the best point I've ever heard from you. Subhanallah. You know what I said? Wallahi, you want to read a love story? You want to read a love story? You think Mills and Boons are very, you know, hot? Wallahi, go and read the love story of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Aisha radiallahu anha. Wallahi, what you will find in that book, you will not have believed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually did this with his own wife, and they related it to us to inform us. The ulama don't speak about it because they are shy. Believe me, they will go red like tomatoes. Subhanallah. Aisha radiallahu anha herself was called what? Humaira. She used to blush a lot. Subhanallah. Let me tell you one or two things. Subhanallah. Just for the benefit of all. I see the eyes are all opening. Subhanallah. Al-insanu haris. Huh? MashaAllah. Okay. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit with Aisha radiallahu anha to eat, he would watch her eat the chunk of meat from the corner of his eye. And he would make sure that she knows that he's watching him. So it's the corner of the eye, and he can see that she's looking also. She's a little bit shy. As she bites the chunk of meat, he looks how she bit it. As she puts it down, he looks back at her from the corner of his eye, and he stretches his hand out for that particular chunk. And he picks it up. He knows where she bit, but intentionally he turns it round, looking at her, to try and tell her, you know what, I'm finding the exact place where your lips were, where your mouth was, where your teeth bit. And when he gets to that place, he slowly bites it, looking at her, subhanallah, with the corner of his eye. And he takes a chunk, making her red. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Look at the level of romance. La ilaha illallah. Can you get something beyond that? The Westerners have to learn from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom we follow. Have we fulfilled that sunnah of his? La ilaha illallah. Go home and try it. Not now, we are fasting. La ilaha illallah. But in the evening, subhanallah. And you will find your home, the entire home, the attitude in your home will change, subhanallah. When she used to drink from the qirab, from those things which they used to drink from, let's say the cups of that time, he used to watch her. He used to turn this thing and find where her lips went to show her that I want to put my lips where yours were on this cup. Today we don't want to drink. We have something, when we were young, we used to call it mouth bar. Allahu Akbar. I don't know what it's called now. We don't want to drink because there's bacteria that came out of your mouth. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Try this. This is the sunnah. There is another whole department of the sunnah known as how to live with your wives. May Allah grant me, inshallah, the opportunity to translate this book into the English language for the benefit of all those who don't speak the Arabic language. Wallahi, it says, أَعْظَمُ قِصَّةِ حُبٍ عَرَفَتْهَا التَّارِيخ. Wallahi, the greatest love story that history has ever known. And this is the love story of not Romeo and Juliet. Those are far off, wallah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Aisha radiallahu anha. He used to lie down on her lap, subhanallah. I don't want to get further, subhanallah. We are fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand. Wallahi, we've had a beautiful day. We started off with a strong reminder and a strong message. and we ended off on a light note. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to fulfill the sunnah. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.